prepare for warp speed as we embark on a voyage through the vast expanse of science fiction in movies and television series. From distant planets to alien civilizations, we delve into the heart of the unknown, unraveling the tales that have captured audiences for generations. Get ready to unlock the secrets of the universe on Code Flicks.
Hello and welcome to Code Flicks, the podcast where we take a deep dive into your favorite sci-fi and fantasy TV shows and movies. I'm Andre Bonner, and in today's episode, we'll be exploring memory, reality, and identity in the 1990 movie Total Recall. This movie causes me to question whether I can trust my own memory. What if my reality instantiated last weekend and my experiences are not my own? Do I really know myself? Total Recall is a 1990 American sci-fi action film directed by Paul Verhoeven with a screenplay by Ronald Shusett, Dan O'Bannon, and Gary Goldman. The film stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rachel Ticotin, Sharon Stone, Ronnie Cox, and Michael Ironside, based on the 1966 short story We Can Remember It For You Wholesale by Philip K. Dick. Total Recall tells the story of Douglas Quaid, a construction worker who receives an implanted memory of a fantastical adventure on Mars. He subsequently finds his adventure occurring in reality, as agents of a shadow organization try to prevent him from recovering memories of his past as a Martian secret agent, aiming to stop the tyrannical regime of Martian dictator Vilas Cohagen. Shusett bought the rights to Dick's story in 1974 and developed a script with O'Bannon. Although considered promising, the ambitious scope kept the project in development hell at multiple studios over 16 years. Seeing 40 script drafts, 7 different directors, and multiple casts as Quaid, Total Recall eventually entered the early stages of filming in 1987 under the De Laurentiis Entertainment Group, shortly before its bankruptcy. Schwarzenegger, who had long held an interest in the project but had been dismissed as inappropriate for the lead role, convinced Carolco Pictures to purchase the rights and develop the film with him as a star. On an estimated $48 to $80 million budget, making it one of the most expensive films made in its time. Filming took place on expansive sets in New Mexico over 6 months. Cast and crew experienced numerous injuries and illnesses due to filming. Total Recall was anticipated to be one of the year's most successful films. On its release, the film earned approximately $261.4 million worldwide, making it the fifth highest grossing film of the year. Its critical reception was mixed, with reviewers praising its themes of identity and questioning reality, but criticizing content perceived as vulgar and violent. The practical special effects were well received, earning the film an Academy Award, and the score by Jerry Goldsmith has been praised as one of the best works. Since its release, Total Recall has been praised for its ambiguous ending, positing whether Quaid's adventures were real or a fantasy, and it has been analyzed for themes of authoritarianism and colonialism, Retrospective reviews have called it one of Schwarzenegger's best films and placed it among the best science fiction films ever made, alongside comic books and video games. Total Recall has been adapted into 1999 TV series Total Recall 2070. An early attempt at a sequel based on Dick's The Minority Report became the 2002 standalone film Minority Report, and a 2012 remake, also titled Total Recall, failed to replicate the success of the original. In 2084, Mars is a colonized world under the tyrannical regime of Vilas Cohagen, who controls the mining of valuable Tiburnium ore. On Earth, construction worker Douglas Quaid experiences recurring dreams about Mars and a mysterious woman. Intrigued, he visits Recall, a company that implants realistic fake memories, and chooses one set on Mars, with a blue sky, where he is a Martian secret agent. However, before the implant is completed, Quaid lashes out, already thinking he is a secret agent, believing Cohagen's agency has suppressed Quaid's memories. The Recall employees erase evidence of Quaid's visit and send him home. En route, Quaid is attacked by men led by his colleague Harry. Because Quaid unknowingly reveals his past, Quaid's instincts take over and he kills his assailants. At home, he is assaulted by his wife, Lori, who claims she was assigned to monitor Quaid by the agency, and their marriage is a false memory implant. He flees but is pursued by armed men led by Richard, one of Cohagen's operatives, and Lori's real husband, a man who claims to be Quaid's former acquaintance, gives him a suitcase containing supplies and a video recording in which Quaid identifies himself as Hauser, a Cohagen ally who defected after falling in love. According to the recording, Cohagen brainwashed Hauser to become Quaid and conceal his secrets before securing him on Earth. Hauser instructs Quaid to return to Mars and stop Cohagen. On Mars, Quaid evades Richard and, following a note from Hauser, travels to Venusville, a district populated by humans and those mutated by air pollution and radiation. He meets Melina, the woman from his dreams, who knows him as Hauser and believes he is still working for Cohagen. In his hotel room, Quaid is confronted by Lori and Dr. Engelmar from Recall, who explains that Quaid is still at Recall on Earth, trapped in his fantasy memory. Quaid notices Engelmar is sweating and, believing he is real, kills him. Quaid is captured by Richard's men, but Melina rescues him and Quaid kills Lori. The pair escape with taxi driver Benny to Venusville. The mutants lead them to a hidden rebel base where Quaid meets their leader, Quato, a mutant growing out of the abdomen of his brother, George. Quato physically reads Quaid's mind, learning that Cohagen is hiding a 500,000-year-old alien reactor built into a mountain that, once activated, produces breathable air but could also destroy all Tiburnium, ending Cohagen's monopoly over both resources. Benny shoots George, revealing himself to be in Cohagen's employ, and Cohagen's forces attack the base, killing the rebels. Quato implores Quaid to start a reactor before Richard executes him. Cohagen disables Venusville air supply to slowly suffocate the remaining inhabitants. Quaid and Melina are brought to Cohagen, who explain that Hauser was his close friend, who volunteered to become Quaid as an elaborate ruse to bypass the mutant's psychic abilities, infiltrate the rebellion, and destroy it. Quaid's recall visit had activated him earlier than planned, and Quaigan has been helping him to survive the oblivious Richard's pursuit. Quaigan's orders houses memories to be restored in Quaid and Melina to be reprogrammed as his subservient lover. But they manage to escape to the mines below the reactor. Benny, Richard, and his men attack them, but the pair outwits and kills them all. Quaigan awaits them in the reactor control room, claiming that activating it will destroy the planet. He sets off an explosive, but Quaid throws it down a tunnel, creating a breach to the Martian surface. The explosive decompression blows Quaigan out to the surface, where he suffocates and dies. Quaid activates the reactor before he and Melina are also blown out. The reactor melts the planet's ice core into gas that bursts to the surface, forming a breathable atmosphere and saving Quaid, Melina, and the rest of the Mars population. As everybody beholds the new blue sky, Quaid momentarily wonders if everything was a dream before he and Melina kiss. There are several themes that shine through from the movie. Dystopic setting. In Total Recall, set in the future where an Earth has been ravaged by chemical warfare, leading to societal collapse and the colonization of Mars by humans. The film portrays a gritty and visually striking dystopian world. Overpopulation, pollution, and social unrest. Memory implants. A central plot element of the film involves the concept of memory implants. Douglas Quaid undergoes a procedure and recall, a company specializing in memory implants. They experience a virtual vacation as a secret agent on Mars. However, the procedure goes awry, leading to Quaid to question the authenticity of his memories and his own identity. Identity and reality. Total Recall explores themes of identity and reality, blurring the lines between what is real and what is imagined. As Quaid delves deeper into his own mind, he grapples with the uncertainty of his true identity and struggles to distinguish between his actual experiences and implanted memories. Action and suspense. The film is known for its intense action sequences, shootouts, chase scenes, and hand-to-hand combat. The fast-paced and adrenaline-fueled action keeps viewers engaged throughout the film. Political intrigue. Against the backdrop of Mars colonization, Total Recall incorporates elements of political intrigue and rebellion. Quaid becomes embroiled in a conflict between the corrupt Mars administrator and the resistance movement seeking independence for the Martian colonists. And there's a special effects. The film features groundbreaking visual effects for its time, including innovative practical effects and impressive miniature work to create the futuristic environments and Martian landscapes. The practical elements combined with the imaginative set contribute to the world's immersiveness. So it brings you into that world. And as you know, I am a fan of any movie or TV show that can bring me into that world. So overall, it can be described as a classic sci-fi. It has all of the themes and symbols that you would expect. Let's look at some of the characters. Douglas Quaid, or Hauser, was played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Quaid is the protagonist in the film. As an ordinary construction worker, he becomes embroiled in a conflict, a complex web of intrigue and deception. Quaid has a signature blend of charisma and physicality, capturing his journey from an everyman seeking adventure to a determined hero fighting against powerful forces. As Quaid discovers his true identity as Hauser, a former secret agent with ties to Mars, he grapples with the questions of memory, identity, and his own free will. Laurie Quaid, played by Sharon Stone. Laurie is Quaid's fake wife at the beginning of the film. Her motives and allegiances are shown when, the story unfolds. Laurie was portrayed as a loving and manipulative person. Melina, played by Rachel Ticotin. Melina is a rebel fighter on Mars and Quaid's love interest. Melina has strength, resilience, and has a fierce sense of cause to her. As Quaid's ally and confidant, Melina helps him navigate the dangers of Mars in uncovering the truth about his past. The relationship adds emotional depth to the film. Vilas Cohagen, played by Ronnie Cox. Cohagen is the ruthless governor of Mars and the main antagonist of the film. Cohagen is a power-hungry dictator willing to do whatever it takes to maintain control over the Martian colonies. Cohagen becomes the primary obstacle standing in Quaid's way as he seeks to uncover the truth and liberate Mars. The production and design and the early development of Total Recall began in 1974 with the producer Ronald Shusett purchased the adaptation rights to science fiction writers Philip K. Dick's 1966 short story "We Can Remember It For You Wholesale." So Shusett had read a 23-page story by the little-known pulp fiction writer in April 1966 edition of the magazine of fantasy and science fiction. Dick's story depicts a meek clerk on Earth named Quail who visits Recall Incorporated to receive a memory implant of being a secret agent on Mars. However, the process uncovers his true identity as a secret agent who previously visited Mars and whose death will bring about an alien invasion. Renaming it to Total Recall, Shusett worked with Dan O'Bannon to write the script. O'Bannon exhausted the existing material quickly, and the short story's abrupt ending meant he could only write 30 pages. Effectively, only the first act and an original second and third act were needed. He suggested sending Quaid to Mars. Shusett and O'Bannon disagreed over the third act, the former wanting something more dramatic. O'Bannon ended reveal that the handprint on the alien machine has Quaid's, who is a replica of the original, and placing his hand on it grants him total memory recall. O'Bannon described the film's ending as lame. Dick read the script prior to his death in 1982 and, according to O'Bannon, enjoyed it. Although studios deemed Shusett and O'Bannon's script an ambiguous and brilliant idea, it was essentially considered unfilmable, in part because of the extensive special effects and high budget that would be required. The pair moved on to collaborating on the script for the science fiction horror film Alien, the success of which earned Shusett a developmental deal at Walt Disney Studios. He pursued the Total Recall project at the studio, initially budgeted at $20 million, but the idea did not progress because issues with the third act could not be resolved. The project was sold to Dino De Laurentiis Entertainment Group in 1982. Problems with the final draft of the script continued to plague the Total Recall production, and eventually Carol Cole Pictures entered the fray. Arnold Schwarzenegger became aware of a Total Recall in the mid-1980s, either during filming of Commando or Raw Deal. He liked the script and agreed to pursue it alongside producer Joel Silver while filming Predator. But the project remained unrealized due to its prohibitive budget because De Laurentiis did not think Schwarzenegger was the right for the lead role. Following De Laurentiis Entertainment Group bankruptcy, Schwarzenegger convinced the co-owners of the independent film studio, Carol Cole Pictures, with whom he had made Red Heat, to purchase the rights for $3 million, including pre-production costs. Schwarzenegger wanted to star in the film, pending rewrites to his satisfaction and his fame. An international appeal justified the studio investing the necessary budget. Carol Cole completed its acquisition of the majority of De Laurentiis Entertainment Group business and assets in April 1989. Schwarzenegger was given substantial influence over the project. He retained Shusett as a screenwriter and co-producer alongside producer Buzz, and oversaw script revisions, casting decisions, and set construction. He described himself as effectively an executive producer without the responsibility, but he involved himself heavily because he wanted the project to work. He received $10 to $11 million salary plus 15% of the film's profits. So it took nearly 16 years in development, 7 directors, 4 co-writers, and 40 script drafts. The Total Recall went into full production. So there's a number of things that contributed to this movie being so successful at the box office and so on. And one of them is the visual effects. Total Recall features groundbreaking visual effects for its time, including scenes of futuristic technology, Martian landscapes, and imaginative creatures. The film visual effects team employed a combination of practical effects, miniatures, matte paintings, and early CGI to bring the world of Mars to life. The set design. The movie's production design creates a gritty and immersive vision of future Earth and Mars. Sets range from the crowded neon-lit streets of dystopic future to the desolate red landscapes of the Martian colonies. Costume design. The costume design reflects the futuristic setting of the film, with characters wearing a mix of old utilitarian clothing and sleek sci-fi inspired outfits. Schwarzenegger's character in particular dons a memorable space suit during his adventures on Mars. Sound design. The film's sound design enhances the immersive experience with a mix of futuristic sound effects, intense action sequences, and a memorable music score by composer Jerry Goldsmith. So there was a number of moments throughout the film that really stands out to me. The scene where the doctor attempts to convince Quaid that he is still at recall in the machine. I think for me that was and is always a good thing. I don't know if it's like it's funny how he's there and he's sweating, right? And he's trying to convince Quaid that he is actually not there, that he is actually on Earth. He's not on Mars, he's on Earth, and you know, he has some issue with the machine, and you know, he's trying to convince him with all of his different ways. And unsuccessfully, of course, as he got shot, right? Another scene is where Carter is revealed to be Quaid. He gives Quaid his memories of the reactor. So, you know, Quaid didn't have or didn't know what his purpose was. He didn't know what he was trying to do. He just knew that he was trying to help. And then Quato helped by bringing memories that Quaid had in his head to the surface, allowing him to be able to utilize what he knows to his advantage at that point, you know. You know, that was what was also interesting about this particular scene was that Quato, you know, was just a normal mutant in terms of it was joined to his brother George, and all this time, because he was hidden. And a lot of persons were looking for him and trying to figure out who he was. And Quaid, who was this outsider, basically, who wasn't really a mutant. He wasn't a mutant. And he was just able to go and get audience with the great Quato. And then there's a scene where that is Melina and Quaid fight the guys at the reactor using the hologram. And even the previous art where we start the hologram being used for the first time by Quaid was interesting, but this one is much more interesting to me because it shows that within the heat of battle, you know, you just have to be very creative and find ways to outsmart your enemy. And especially when you are outmatched, outnumbered, you know, you have to find some different techniques and different ways to be able to, you know, outsmart and outwit. And this was a really good way to show there, you know. And then the final scene where they kiss on the surface, that for me, on the Martian surface, that for me was quite epic. To me, it tied up the movie in a nice bow. And I understand that it wasn't from the original source material. It wasn't from the Philip K's thing, you know. But you know, having something that they could use to basically give the ending of the movie some kind of at the same time emotional closure and also be able to set the tone that, you know, this is kind of dreamlike. This is like, is this real? Is this, could this possibly be what reality is? It was quite interesting to see that.
So I have a few theories that I feel could be, you know, the solutions to some of these mysteries, especially the way how the movie ended, because it ended in such a way that you could really believe that this could be a dream or this could be something else. And the first thing is that I believe that Quaid never left Recall. Everything that happened was a part of the fantasy adventure. The fact that they didn't show Quaid getting into the Fat Lady suit, it suddenly becomes defective as soon as Corrigan's guys come on the scene. So, you know, all of those little things just, to me, just point to the fact that it could be that he was there. He never left the machine, right? When he supposedly busted out of their custody, it was because he was a part of the simulation, part of the memory implant that was, you know, going into effect. Whether it was defective or it was doing exactly what it was, to me, I feel it was doing it exactly, because I don't think there was any issue there per se, but or I can't see one. But yeah, I think that would make sense to me. Maybe Hauser was playing double agent and he planned for Quaid to go up against Corrigan. Right? Corrigan doesn't seem like the smartest tool in the shed anyways. But, you know, we see this with even people, you know, sometimes they put on a different identity. They become someone else to do things. And I'm just talking about actors, talking about real people who have issues, you know, they might want to get away from certain issues, so they try to mask themselves and become something else, you know, in order to achieve whatever end goal they want to achieve in the end. And my other theory is that the aliens were never fleshed out as being real.
Possibly they were just advanced race of humanoids based on the shape of their control mechanism. Because it looks like a human hand or humanoid hand. And so, you know, it is easy to say that because they never saw the aliens, they never made reference to them other than to talk about them. You don't have anything that shows, I mean, some humanoid alien that is advanced like this and be able to create a machine like that one should have some kind of fingerprint, some footprint that they left behind to show what they looked like, or at least indicate who they were, right? And why they just disappear all of a sudden, you know? So, you know, I guess that, you know, brings up even more questions about, you know, that, you know, where are they? Why is it that they left it there and they didn't turn it on? Or did they try to turn it on and it didn't work? You know, what has changed? What did Koigen's people fix it? And if they fixed it, how did they do it? Because there must have been some kind of blueprint as the whole to connect to Y on him something there in order to get the thing to work anyways, right? And were they extinct? Is it that they're not in this galaxy? They have left the galaxy, you know, they've gone somewhere else. Maybe they're coming back at some point. Who knows? Share your favorite Total Recall moments or theories. You know, whether you agree with me about some of the questions that I raised, or, you know, you felt that there are some other reasons why things are the way they are. So in this episode, we looked at the Total Recall movie, its impact on a generation, its impact on the sci-fi fantasy genre. We looked at the different symbols and themes that came out, especially looking at the dystopian and the elements that impact political. We also looked at some of the characters, you know, we looked at the production, you know, what led up to the actual development of the film, the adaptation that it was taken from that gives the inspiration for such a great story. And looked at some of my own theories, you know, my interpretations based on some of my favorite moments. You know, some scenes that really stood out to me. And after they thinking about what some of these things mean. And in a sense, that is what they expect from a good science fiction film of this caliber. I'd like to encourage you to subscribe and to follow the podcast. We attempt to move to the different films and TV shows in the science fiction genre. There are lots in production, as I've mentioned before, and, you know, it really helps us out by being there to listen and, you know, give your feedback, give your comments. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting.
See you next time.